You're listening to Fantasy Nightcap, a Fantasy Football Astronauts production, with your hosts, Fox and Shane.
Welcome into the Fantasy Nightcap. Pull up a chair, mosey on up to the bar, grab a drink, and kick back. I'm your bartender for the night, Fox, and with me as always is my regular Shane. How you doing tonight, man?
I am good. How are you tonight, sir?
I'm good. Football is back, so.
I am so excited.
It's been a good weekend.
Yes, it has. It's been a very good weekend.
I feel like it's taken forever to get to this point, and I'm so happy we're finally here.
For real. Quarantine was 6 months, but it feels like it's been 6 years since we've had football.
Yeah, well, preseason just makes it even longer.
Oh yeah, didn't get any of the preseason hype on guys, which we'll probably touch on some of those people today that might have gotten some of those.
Absolutely, but before we get into that, what are you drinking tonight?
I wanted something a little relaxing and refreshing, so I'm going with just a vodka mixed with strawberry Sprite. So it is very, very refreshing. Which is what I need.
Yeah, I hear that.
What about you?
I actually just had a birthday, so I'm having some birthday whiskey that my brother-in-law got me. And it's the Grangestone 18-year. It's a nice whiskey.
Interesting.
Smoky and smooth.
Grangestone?
Yeah.
18-year? I am writing that down because I have not heard of that before, and I love me some whiskey.
Neither had I.
My mom got me some whiskey for Christmas from like a little boutique liquor store that we have here, and it's, I can't remember what it's called, but it's whiskey made with or like infused with rock candy.
What?
Yeah, it is so good. Like, I can drink it straight, just over ice, and it is delicious.
Interesting. Yeah, if you find the name of that, I'll have to track some down and try that. That sounds interesting.
Yeah, we can put it in the show notes for the podcast. So I'll go find that before we post this. All righty. You ready to get into our top shelf performances and our flat performances?
Absolutely. So let's start off with the top shelf, and let's start off with the one I guess we should have all seen coming was Sammy Watkins, right?
Sammy freaking Watkins. Fool me once, shame on you.
Yeah.
Right? I don't know why I'm surprised by him having 7 receptions for 82 yards and a touchdown. He was the clear-cut wide receiver, too. And yeah. I hate it because I really wanted Mecole Hardman to be the clear-cut wide receiver too, and he didn't get any touches. So, good job, no. Sammy Watkins.
And he did that on 9 targets. I mean, Mahomes was looking for him, so it wasn't just a fluke here.
Yeah, for sure. Our next one is Josh Jacobs, who had 25 carries, 93 yards, 3 touchdowns, and then 4 receptions for 46 yards. I freaking love this because in our start sit article for the Fantasy Football Astronauts, I picked him as one of the starts for the week, and got it right. So I'm feeling pretty good about that one because I sucked in a couple other areas. So I was really, really happy about that one. He looked great.
Yes. Well, and the 4 receptions was what I was happy about, was finally seeing him getting the ball out of the backfield and doing some damage in the air.
Yeah, for sure. Because that's been the narrative all offseason, I feel like, is they kept trying to take away targets from him by signing pass catching running backs. But then they cut, was it Riddick? Like a week after they signed him, and then, but then they signed somebody else right after that too. Yeah, I thought that was pretty telling that they shipped Bowden out, which I hate because I liked Bowden. So hopefully he gets an opportunity in Miami.
Well, he might with Devontae Parker being possibly missing time with a hamstring.
Yeah, so hopefully we will see that.
Absolutely.
All right, you go next.
All right, next up is Aaron Rodgers, who had 364 yards and 4 touchdowns. And looks like he's back.
Yes, and that also makes me happy because I had him in Scott Fishbowl.
I as well, so that made me very happy because awesome. My other quarterback was who is my other quarterback? Matthew Stafford is my other quarterback, so that did not do me any favors.
What did he score in Scott Fishbowl scoring? Do you know off the top of your head?
I think it was less than 10. It wasn't good.
Not to brag too much, but my other quarterback was Kirk Cousins, so I had a good day at quarterback in Scott Fishbowl. I had a pretty good day in Scott Fishbowl in general. Yeah. But
Same here.
Those two were nice.
The game tonight locked it up for me.
Yeah. So next is Kyler Murray, and he is actually my QB2 in Pauly's playoff. Which, for those of you that don't know, Pauly's playoff is the tournament that I started in honor of Scott Fishbowl. And he had a very good game with 230 yards passing, 1 touchdown, and then 13 carries for 91 yards and a rushing touchdown. I was stoked about that. And in one of my family leagues, my aunt called me and was like, "Hey, I'm playing your cousin, and he's down." So she lives in Auburn, Alabama, and he's down at Auburn University for his freshman year. And she's like, "He's telling me that I should start Wentz over Murray because Murray is playing the 49ers defense." And I was like, "Normally, he's probably right, but Wentz has a lot of injuries on his team, and I just think Kyler's got the weapons this week to get the job done." So she started Murray over him, and I was like, "Yes, I don't even care if she wins. Like, I just wanted to be right on that one call."
Exactly. Yeah, I gave somebody advice to start Tom Brady over Aaron Rodgers. So.
Oh no!
didn't make me look too good.
That's okay. No, I mean, I don't think anyone really could have predicted Brady looking like that.
No, and I hope that's not a sign of things to come with the talent on that offense.
I know. You and I both got shot in the foot with the Leonard Fournette signing, but I think once they all kind of mesh together, hopefully that offense, at least for fantasy purposes, will be churning along. So let's hit these last three pretty quick.
Yeah, Devontae Adams looked solid and has been the last, I believe, 6 games.
Yeah.
And he had 14 receptions, 156 yards for 2 touchdowns. I mean, you're just plugging him in every week.
Absolutely. You think he's got the potential to be the wide receiver 1 this year?
I do. I mean, there's not really much else on that offense to take it away from him. And if Michael Thomas's start is foreshadowing for the rest of the season, Adams has definitely got a shot.
Yeah, that was interesting. I have Adams in a league, and I was very happy. I think I have Adams and Rodgers, actually. So then our next one is Adam Thielen. He had 6 receptions for 110 yards, 2 touchdowns, and a 2-point conversion. And him and Cousins both turned it on late, so that was nice to see from a fantasy perspective. But go Packers.
One of your 3 favorite teams, right?
Yes, sir. Thank you.
And then the last one that made me happy was seeing Russell Wilson's 300-plus yards and 4 touchdowns.
Oh, yeah.
And them finally letting him throw the ball instead of just taking everything away from him on the ground. So I'm hoping this is a sign of things to come. And if this is how it's going to be for them, I think he could be your quarterback 1, giving Mahomes a run for his money.
Definitely. I think it could be a very interesting race for QB1 with possibly 4 or 5 guys. And Russ Wilson being one of those. So now you want to move on to our flat performances.
Yeah. I'll let you take the first one since your favorite team.
Baker Mayfield, 189 yards, one touchdown, one interception. I didn't get to watch a lot of the game just because it wasn't on Fox or CBS for local, so I was only getting snippets here or there when he was on Red Zone. And he just looked uncomfortable again. Now, I am holding on hope that it is just because the Ravens are that good, and maybe there still needs to be a little bit of meshing with him and Stefanski's offense. But yeah, that one hurt.
Yeah, I'm personally not a fan of his. I don't get the love or any hype that he gets. So this to me is just par for the course, and I don't think it's going to get any better, but I guess we'll see. I think it'll be more telling if it was truly Baltimore and their defense that was the reason, or if it's just Baker's not who we think he is.
Yeah.
But, I mean, sticking with that game, I mean, you have Nick Chubb who had – only 10 carries, 60 yards, had a fumble. I mean, I wouldn't say Hunt looked fantastic in this game either, but when they're down, I think Hunt is going to be the one you're going to see a little bit more of just for the passing side. But
yeah, I think they made that pretty clear.
Yeah, I'm not worried about Chubb as much as I am about Mayfield, but
yeah,
I think, like you said, it's going to take a little bit for them to mesh in this offense, and I think Chubb will be fine. Moving forward.
For sure. I really hope it was just that Baltimore defense and they'll get rolling here soon. So next, and I think accountability will be one thing that we both strive for as fantasy analysts. So this one is one I got wrong. Ryan Fitzpatrick had 191 mm-hmm. yards and three interceptions. And I told you all to start him in our start sit week because he had some fantastic games in his career throughout his career against the Patriots. I thought he was set for it. They had opt-outs all over the defense for the Patriots. Their three starting linebackers from last year aren't on the team this year. I really thought he was going to have a good game, and I was wrong. Now, Devontae Parker got hurt. Don't know if that had anything to do with it. They have two new running backs, and I think their offensive line is still pretty patchwork and young at best. So, yeah, I got this one wrong. I do apologize to anyone that did read the article and started him. So,
yeah, that one was rough to see. I mean, he is very up and down with his performances, but yeah, this was a bad one.
Yeah, a lot of people on Twitter that I saw were like, "Well, maybe we're just one game away from seeing Tua." I really hope not.
Yeah, I saw they announced that Fitzpatrick will be the starter next week, so you get at least one more start. I mean, we'll see where that goes.
I just want to see, like, I want to see them be smart with Tua and his health, because I think if Tua gets a full year or even half a year at worst under his belt to be healthy, be in an NFL locker room and training room, and has the potential to remain healthy for a longer period of time in his career and actually heal from the hip injury all the way, he could be the best quarterback from this draft class.
Yeah, so. I think you're right on that. Be interesting to see how they handle it down there.
Yeah.
And then our last one here that was kind of a surprise was Michael Thomas, three receptions for 17 yards. And he didn't even get hurt until the end of the game. So it wasn't like his ankle held him out before that, but I mean, it kind of seemed like the offense was able to run the ball, and
Kamara looked good, didn't he?
Yeah, I was pleasantly surprised with how good he looked.
Yeah, I was real happy with that. Have him and Scott Fishbowl too, and then in a couple other leagues. So I was very, very happy to see Kamara make a little bit of a bounce back already. I saw someone tweet that he had two touchdowns in the first game, and that was as many as he had through 15 weeks last year. And I was like, dang.
Yeah, that's one you like almost have to fact check because it just doesn't sound like it'd be right. And then it's even more disappointing when you see that it's actually true.
Yeah, absolutely.
And then I know we didn't put it in our notes, but Saquon Barkley, I don't know if I necessarily put him in here, but his rushing wise, he was awful. I know he got some work in the passing game, but not at all what I expected. I mean, I know the Steelers defense is solid, but they locked him down.
Yeah, I was watching that game here and there on my phone, and it really just looked like that defensive line was working the Giants' offensive line.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know how many times I saw him get hit in the backfield.
Yeah.
Just going nowhere.
They were all over that backfield. So we'll chalk that one up to their D-line. And then we also forgot to mention in our top-shelf performances, our boy, Darius Slayton.
Yeah.
Who led us to a win in the Fantasy Football Astronauts Listener League. Had over 100 yards and 2 touchdowns. I am so happy. I'm trying to figure out a way to trade for him in my home Dynasty League, but I feel like I'm going to have to give up a pick, and I'm like in the biggest rebuild ever, so I'm like trying not to give up picks there.
Yeah, I'm bummed. I ended up not having a first-round pick this year in our rookie draft, and I gave him up. And I don't remember who else, but I gave him up for a first-round pick to get Keyshawn Vaughn. So that one is...
Oh, no.
Yeah, that one's hurting a little bit. I mean, I'm stacked at receiver, so it's not as bad as it could be. But it just – like, he was a guy I made sure I went out to grab before anybody else and saw the breakout coming. So it hurt a little bit to have to get rid of him.
Yeah.
But maybe Keyshawn Vaughn will make up for it someday.
Hopefully. You and I are both holding on to hope for that one.
Yeah. All right. Let's get to the waivers.
Cool.
Who is your top ad for waivers? If somebody's coming to you asking, I have to pick one person, who would it be?
If I'm picking one person from our list, that is tough. I really think I want to go Laviska Shenault, to be completely honest with you. He's only rostered in 6.7% of ESPN leagues. And I don't know. I just, like, I see the talent, and he scored that touchdown, and I feel like they're going to – and he took snaps at Wildcat quarterback. I really think they're going to try and find ways to use him and get him involved in that offense. So I think I'd go Laviska, and then probably Malcolm Brown and Russell Gage if I had to pick a top three.
Okay, I like that Laviska. That didn't realize he was that low on ownership, but
yeah,
I was pleasantly surprised with how he fared in that game and how they used him. So he's a guy I'm excited to see if they continue to use him this way. I think it could be honestly a fun offense to watch, and it doesn't look like they might be tanking as hard as people thought they were going to be.
I don't know if the players probably aren't going to tank as hard as the organization wants them to, but I think Gardner Minshew's just a baller.
I agree.
And he's not going to let them tank. So
I agree.
And just to give anybody who's doing free agent auction bidding, I would probably throw in, I'd say probably $10 to $15 of free agent bidding on Laviska if he's on your waiver wires, just to kind of secure that you would get him. Obviously, with free agent auction bidding, you can bid zero, but I think I'd go anywhere from $10 to $15. Probably 15 on a $200 budget and 10 on a $100 budget, just to kind of make sure you got them, but not also break the bank.
Right. How much would you put on Malcolm Brown? I think he would. I think he's my number one. I mean, he looked like he couldn't be stopped last night, and it, as a Cowboys fan, that one hurt.
It hurt
just watching him just cut through on what should have been a solid line.
Yeah.
And, I mean, I know Akers will get his, but I don't know if they're giving the hot hand or if Brown is going to be the first guy up. But how much are you putting in on him?
Yeah, and he's only rostered in 7.9% of ESPN leagues. I'd probably go... I think he's probably going to be really a hot ad. So for free agent auction bidding, I'd probably go 20 to 25.
That's where I was landing. Just to see him at 7.9, that kind of shocked me. I figured his ownership would be a little higher than that.
I was shocked by that, and honestly, and I don't know if it was just like me studying or whatnot in the off season, but Russell Gage was at 3.8% ownership. I would throw probably another 15 free agent auction bidding dollars at Russell Gage. To make sure you got Malcolm Brown, I'm going 25.
I'd agree with that.
He looked, like you said, really, really good. Henderson was out. Akers is a rookie, and he looked okay. But I would definitely go $25 on Malcolm Brown because it looked like McVay was going to use him. So I'd go with that.
If you had to pick one from our list of a guy who could be a sneaky one that you might be able to spend maybe no more than five on, who would that guy be for you?
From our list, there's one that we need to talk about. He's got a little bit of higher roster percentage, but one we definitely need to talk about. I'd go Joshua Kelly, I think.
That was gonna be my pick too. it was him or Scotty Miller, honestly.
I was between them, and then we've got one lower. Josh Adams, the running back out of Notre Dame for the Jets. He was actually rostered in 0.0% of ESPN leagues. You could probably bid zero on him and get him.
Oh, absolutely. You could probably get him just off straight waivers without
exactly
even having to worry about you being a priority.
Yeah, but with Bell being out, that's a sneaky one to go after. And then absolutely. Josh Kelly and Scotty Miller, I'd throw $5 at both of those to see if you can get them pulled off. Kelly, I think they both got 12-ish points. I can't remember exactly what Miller got, but I know Kelly got 12 points according to the ESPN stuff I was looking at. So
good.
Yeah. And it looks like he's going to fill in that Melgo role from last year. So the Thunder to Eckler's Lightning, and hopefully Eckler can catch that Lightning again.
For sure. And I was going to say, I know we got Emmanuel Sanders, CeeDee Lamb, Nyheim Hines on here, and Preston Williams. I know they're a little higher owned guys, but still worth mentioning. Just take a peek on your waivers. Those guys might be sitting there.
So the one of those that I wanted to talk about was Nyheim Hines. He looked fantastic and looks like he's going to be the Eckler to Phillip Rivers in Indianapolis. And with Mac being done for the season, they could easily do a two-back system like the Chargers are doing with him and Taylor. Now Taylor looked pretty good too catching the ball, but Hines was very good, and he is only rostered in about 34.2% of ESPN leagues, so he's still somewhat under the radar, at least from that perspective. I'd throw $30 at him if you want to get him.
I'd say you're gonna have to spend up to make sure you land that one. I think he'll probably be the biggest ad
for sure.
You throwing anything at Sammy Watkins?
No.
you got to prove it to me.
Yeah. If I was desperate at wide receiver, like let's say I've got Cortland Sutton, I've got Deebo Samuel, Kenny Galladay, and I need somebody to kind of fill that role while they come back. then I'd maybe throw a little bit of money or maybe even throw a zero bid just to see if I got lucky. But yeah, with no.
I see MVS that way too.
Yeah,
he's a guy that has just been so up and down with Rodgers that it's.
Yep.
I mean, honestly, I'd rather have Lazard.
Yeah.
He's worth watching. He could be that number two and finally earn it and stay there. You know, that'd be a solid play, but he makes me nervous.
Yeah, no, I agree. I got him last year in that home dynasty league in a trade right before he had a really good game, and then started him, and that's when he ended up losing the job to Lazard as the number two. And I was like, well, this sucks.
Yep, never again.
Yeah. So, and then to touch on Sanders and CD, you could honestly, like, if they're on your waivers, I feel like people are going to throw bids at them. I wouldn't throw more than 10 or 15, and I know that probably seems low, but I wouldn't want to try and bust my budget necessarily for them. If I did, it would be CD.
Yeah, I agree.
He looked really good, and Jarwin is now out.
That one breaks my heart.
Oh, my God, me too. That one hurt. I didn't see it happen live. I wasn't looking at the TV. And then I saw the replay of it, and he planted and turned,
yep.
And then immediately went down and grabbed the back of his leg, and I was like, he's done for. There he goes.
Yep.
So.
Yeah. And you hate to see it because he has such a great opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, Schultz isn't going to be the guy. So it just.
Did you see what Dez tweeted out today?
No.
He tweeted out that he didn't know if he could come back and put his hand in the dirt, but he could maybe play a big slot or line up at tight end.
Oh, that would be fantastic. He's got the size. I'd love to see it.
Oh yeah. So that's an interesting situation to keep an eye on, is the Cowboys receivers and how that market share ends up getting split with Jarwin being out. And then another one that we have on here is the Dolphins with Williams and Gesicki and monitoring Parker's hamstring. You and I both love Preston Williams.
Oh, yes.
So he's rostered at 68.2% in ESPN leagues, and then Gesicki is rostered at 58.5%. And you posed the question on our show sheet, would I rather have Lazard than either of them? And the answer to that for me is no. I want Williams or Gesicki because Williams, even with Parker, I think has the potential to be the wide receiver one on that team. And Gesicki, I think, will end up getting his targets and his yards and whatnot. And I don't know. I just don't like Lazard personally.
I'm 100% with you on that. I'd rather have both of those guys. And, I mean, it's not even close for me.
Yeah, no. I mean, Gesicki finished his tight end 12 overall last year. I'd take that over Lazard any day, tight end premium or not.
Yeah, I agree. All right, and I think it's time for our last call. And this week's last call is beer goggles. And that is guys that seem to perform and you're just seeing something you really aren't. And I think we're going to try and steer you away from that so you don't go home and make a bad decision.
We don't want you going home with what you think is a 10 and then waking up next to a 2.
And so my pick for this week is Sammy Watkins. And I mean, we've already touched on it, you know, just look at last year. He burst out of the gates and it just looked like he was going to be a thing going week to week to week, and you never saw a performance like that again.
Yeah.
I mean, he did shine a little bit in the playoffs, but that doesn't do you any good.
Yeah, no. I agree with that. But just so we have some differing opinions on here, my beer goggles pick is Marquise Valdes-Scantling. He is a very boomer bust player. He's super fast and will get you those deep threats and those deep touchdowns. But I, like I mentioned earlier, don't trust him to do that from week to week. So I want you guys to wait a week before putting in some waivers on him. He's only rostered right now in 1.9% of ESPN leagues. So even if he does get rostered, what I think may happen is he might get cut the next week because he'll probably throw you a bust week next week. And if he doesn't and he doesn't get picked up, then go get him. Because if he can do it consistently, I'm all for it. But I haven't seen it yet, so I want to see that from him before I'm making that claim.
For sure. I mean, he's that guy that you go out, you grab, you put him in your lineup, and then he takes a dump. And then you drop him, and then that's when he blows up again. So it's just – I'd rather have somebody that has a higher floor than looking for his ceiling on this.
Absolutely. Now, if you can throw him in a flex spot, okay, cool. But I'm not starting him at a wide receiver position if I don't have to. And if it's a flex position, I'd probably throw it in my last flex position at best.
Where can people find you on Twitter, Shane?
Yes, they can find me at FFShaneB, and I'm a writer for the Fantasy Football Astronauts. What about you?
You can find me at CarbonFox_FF. I don't do too much writing, but you can find my designs for the Fantasy Football Astronauts out there.
Well, alrighty, ladies and gentlemen, thank you for listening to the Fantasy Nightcap.